Please welcome Cliff Cunningham.
I really want to thank you guys for having that website. I've been listening remotely in Durham, North Carolina, to my friend Mike Kaplan's stories for the last couple of years, and really enjoyed that. I'm thrilled to be here to speak tonight. So my dad was the nicest in the 70s, the nicest imperialist you'll ever meet. So we lived all around South America. And the way that imperialism worked was that you'd sort of spend a couple of years in a country, and then they kind of run you out of the country, and then you go to another country. And so we kept moving around in a very clipped fashion. You know, 2 years and you move on. And suddenly, in 1974, we found ourselves immersed in what turned out to be the last days of the Panama Canal Zone. Now, I'm going to tell you about my personal transition to the Canal Zone. But first, I want to tell you a little bit about the Panama Canal Zone. It was an American colony that ceased to exist in 1980. So we were there during the 74 to 1980, the last days. And it was the most bizarre cultural experience you can imagine. It was populated by third-generation builders of the original Panama Canal. So they were like the children and the granddaughters of the ones who built it. And they were, without question, the most brain-dead group of people that you could possibly imagine. They were basically really confused about who they were. Because on the one hand, they were the most pro-American people that you can find. You know, you would think, you know, that makes sense. You're in a colony down in the middle of Latin America, and you're just going to be more American than the Americans. You know, the 4th of July parades were just an absolutely huge thing. And so the Canal Zone had a subset of people who had never left the Canal Zone. Now, let me explain this, and that is on either side of the Panama Canal was a 5-mile area, and that was the whole Canal Zone. So the whole Canal Zone was 10 miles wide and 50 miles long, and they had never been into Panama, the Republic of Panama. Okay, so this sort of gives you an idea of who we were dealing with when we moved there. As a kid moving there, I ended up facing the most bizarre set of rejections that you can imagine. It was a whole series of soul-crushing, mind-bending, just rejected that. Just I couldn't understand what was happening. And so as I arrived, I'd done this before. Every 2 years we moved. I didn't like it, but I knew. And the students sort of looked at me and they said, "Are you from the other side?" I said, "The other side of what? The other side of the Canal Zone?" You know, I was like, no, I'm not. And I live in Panama City. And they're like, "Oh." As a matter of fact, I lived in a really nice part of Panama City. My dad was an imperialist, after all, right? So we had this beautiful, spectacular apartment, but the entire Canal Zone community was laboring under the impression that we were living in a slum in the heart of Panama. And so the idea that they would somehow think that I was a second-class citizen to them, and I said, "Oh, it's a very nice apartment. You might want to come and see it sometime." And they just weren't interested. And the whole society of the Canal Zone, just to wrap up the Canal Zone, was totally confused because they were more American than Americans, but they lived in a totally socialist society. All of their needs were taken care of. There was one shoe store, there was one hardware store, and that's where you shopped. And they loved being taken care of, but if you told them that they lived in a socialist society, they would not have responded very well. So as you might imagine, during the next year and a half, when I was in eighth and ninth grade, I descended into the most abject form of rejection. The whole place had just didn't want anything to do with me. I lived in Panama City. They didn't want anything to do with me. So I said, I thought to myself, well, you know, I know what to do. I will leave and go to boarding school. And then I'll make a lot of friends with all the nice people at my boarding school, right? the Northeast Boarding School, I'm not gonna spend a lot of time talking, but let's just say that my rejection didn't take a positive course. It just sort of devolved even further into another three-year nightmare of not being from Greenwich. And if I thought I was gonna get any cachet from being the kid from Panama, it was like, no cachet at all. As I graduated from college, I was heading to Yale University, which is where I met Mike Kaplan. And as I arrived at Yale, it was just the strangest thing. I had a girlfriend in like 3 days. And I had, my first kiss was at freshman conference. I had never had a kiss in my life. It was the first one. And I was just thinking, what is going on here? Why is this? And I realized that at Yale University, every single person there was the most unpopular person in their high school. And it is mathematically impossible for everybody to be unpopular. And so that I hit the jackpot, had friends, et cetera. And it's all because of my mind-bending rejections. Thank you so much for the chance to speak.